The Last of Mr. Norris. My first impression was that the stranger's eyes were of an unusually light blue. They were the eyes of a schoolboy, surprised in the act of breaking a rule. Not that I had caught him, apparently, in anything except his own thoughts. Perhaps he imagined I could read them. I asked him for a match. Startled, he hesitated, then fumbled in his waistcoat. I offered him a cigarette, which he accepted. We sat back in our respective places. The stranger was still doubtful of me. "Do you know what time we arrive at the frontier?" My question made him uneasy. He said,
"In about an hour's time, I believe."
Then quietly,
"All these frontiers ought to be done away with."
I nodded, noticing with extreme interest that he was wearing a wig.
"It may seem absurd of me," he continued, "but I do hate to be fussed and bothered."
The old boy must be smuggling some delicacies, I thought, smiling. He introduced himself as Arthur Norris, gentleman. "My name's William Bradshaw," I said. He smiled, and we spent the time chatting easily. Soon the train stopped. Pale, stout men in blue uniforms strolled about with a faintly sinister air. Far down the corridor of the coach, a voice echoed,
"Deutsch Passkontrolle."
Mr. Norris continued chattering. He was extremely nervous. His uneasy eyes kept squinting into the corridor. An official had appeared in the doorway of our compartment. My passport was barely glanced at, while Mr. Norris's was given close scrutiny. Mr. Norris was in a panic. After a few questions, the officials handed back his passport, and he sank back with a deep sigh.
"I'm getting too old for this sort of thing. All this traveling, very bad for me."
"You shouldn't upset yourself so." I felt quite protective towards him at that moment. This affectionate protectiveness, which he so easily and dangerously inspired in me, was to color all our future dealings. Mr. Norris asked me very graciously to be his guest at lunch, and I said that I should be delighted. By the end of the meal, he was in the best of spirits.
"I must say, the older I get, the more I come to value the little comforts of this life. As a general rule, I make a point of traveling first class. It always pays."
Mr. Norris sighed and touched his napkin to his lips.
"And here we are, riding in the lap of luxury. The social reformers would condemn us, no doubt. All the same, I suppose if somebody didn't use this dining car, we should have all these employees on the dole as well. Dear me, things are so very complex nowadays."
We parted at the Zoo station in Berlin. Mr. Norris held my hand for a long time amidst the jostle of arriving passengers.
"Auf Wiedersehen, my dear boy. I hope that we shall be seeing each other in the very near future. And I wonder if you'll care to have tea with me at my flat this Saturday. Here's my card, so please say you'll come."
I promised that I would.